Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with Kevin Dunn, Brad Keltner, the real MVP. You can reach us via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. BK's at Brad Keltner in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01. This is his favorite day of the week, I believe, on the Triple Option. He is all about these 80s old school jams. Do you recognize this one?
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
You don't recognize the song?
I swear I don't.
Oh, you've heard this before.
Okay, what is it?
I can never tell you that.
What's the chorus?
We'll wait for the chorus.
Yeah, the chorus.
I don't know. I don't recognize the actual verse.
Man. This would have been on commercials.
Okay.
Boom. Boom.
Feel like making love? Okay, I do recognize this then. Okay. Who sings this song?
KD?
Feel like making love.
Not Rod Babers.
The Stranglers. I don't know. I just made up a name there.
No, you made him a random name.
The Hillside Stranglers.
Well, better than the Human League.
That's true. Who sings this?
Especially when their song is titled Human. Unbelievable.
Well, okay, it's
crazy.
The Making Love Band? No, it's not that.
No, this is Bad Company.
Bad Company.
Yeah. Big Bad Company fan.
Okay.
I feel like I'm the youngest person on the face of the earth who likes Bad Company.
I think you are.
You might be.
Mm-hmm.
What else do they have?
Yeah, I was going to say, give me another Bad Company song.
Rock and Roll Fantasy, Bad Company. They actually do have a song titled Bad Company.
There you go.
Shooting Star.
Shooting Star.
Man, you do know them.
You do know your stuff.
Yeah. I'm disappointed that I've only got four to
Ready
this
for
point.
Love.
Ready for Love is them.
Man, I don't know if I bet I recognize them hearing them, but I don't recognize them from title. Interesting. Okay.
Electric Land.
Bad
I feel
company.
Like I've heard that before.
I feel like I've heard Shooting Star before, but I could be wrong about it. It could be another
Can't
song.
Get Enough. Can't Get Enough of Your Love.
Yeah, we know that one.
I do know that one. Isn't it crazy we recognize him from BK singing?
And he didn't even hit the note.
And he did it.
Whoa!
No, you
didn't. Pitch was great.
You're better than what Rod sounded like.
Can't Get Enough of Your Love.
I actually got it from when he sung it, though. I swear I did.
Yeah.
My brain was able to recall it.
He looks like he's having a seizure whenever
he sings.
He does
look like he has a little stroke happening. He's got like the left side of his lips up. Yeah. It's like a fake Elvis Presley that jumps out. It's weird.
Appreciate
I agree.
That, yes.
Yeah.
We have to video that sometime. And we're going to have to sneak it because he won't do it for us.
I can act like I'm on my phone. And
he won't
one
sit
day.
On call.
Yeah. No, I don't get paid enough to do that.
Fair enough.
All right, gentlemen, let's get back to sports. Let's talk about the Monday night football game last night. The Rams win, obviously the Bears lose, but that's not the big story.
They were who I thought they were.
That is more what people are talking about, that the Bears actually are who we thought they were.
They are who we thought they were.
And strangely enough,
BK nailed that too. He said it was going to be a blowout for the Rams.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's two bad teams, right? I'm not super bought in on the Rams. They're 5-2, but guys, their five wins have come against the Bears and the four teams in the NFC East. So I'm not quite ready to buy in on LA just yet. Their schedule gets a lot tougher. They already lost to San Francisco once. They've got to play them again, and they have yet to play Seattle or Arizona. So we know how good the NFC West is. The Rams haven't really played anybody in that division. They've just been beating up on some bad football teams, and I think last night we saw that. Yeah, despite the 5-1 record Chicago had coming into last night, they are a bad football team. Really a bad offense, right? The defense is great, but the offense is so atrocious that they've got no shot to actually do anything.
That's where I'll pick up right there, because this is the storyline right now in Chicago, where Chicago Bears fans are talking about. This is a little sports talk radio in Chicago, and Nick Foles has actually been worse as a starting quarterback than Mitch Trubisky.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The Bears are dead last in the NFL in yards with an average of 263 yards per game with Nick Foles as the starter. With Mitch Trubisky, they were never held under 300 yards of total offense.
And they didn't take him out back and shoot him, did they? They still have him?
They still got him somewhere around there. With Nick Foles as a starter, that offense is averaging around 17.5 first downs per game. With Mitch Trubisky, it was around 22 first downs per game. Passer rating for Nick Foles, 77.6. Trubisky, 87.4. QBR for Nick Foles, 46.2. Trubisky, 56.4. Both have six passing touchdowns. Nick Foles has six interceptions. Mitch Trubisky had three. And Mitch Trubisky actually can run. He was averaging 10.9 yards per carry when he went out of the game. And Nick Foles, of course, as you guys know, can't move at all.
10 yards a carry?
Yeah. Yeah, it's skewed because he scrambles mostly. I mean, NFL quarterback. He's not running very often.
Still, though.
And he got benched after two games, remember? He didn't play two
games. Yeah, midway through the third game. Yeah, right? And then Nick Foles led that great comeback against the Falcons.
Everybody comes back on the Falcons.
I was about to say. That felt great in real time. Then I think we all realized,
Cowboys.
Well, any of the three of us could lead a great comeback against the Atlanta Falcons.
Lions,
they're that
too,
bad
right?
this year.
The Lions,
just did it last
Lions
weekend.
Everybody coming
If you're
back
blowing
on
a lead to the Lions, right, the biggest choke artist in the sport, if you're choking to them, you've got some serious problems.
But what are y'all's thoughts, though, man? Nick Foles is worse than Mr. Trubisky. That was our big thing. Hey, put Nick Foles in there and the team will be better. That has not solved their problems. That offense, as you mentioned, BK, it's still atrocious. The defense is still legit. It's an elite defense. They got nothing to worry about there. But offensively, guys, and Nick Foles is even pointing out that there may be some coaching miscommunications that we'll get to here. But what are your thoughts about the quarterback situation, Giddy?
I think they're in a bad spot either way. I would still stick with Foles because their offensive line didn't do a nice job of protecting him. He was sacked four times. He was running for his life. As you pointed out, that's not going to be his game. And the Bob Duns of the world, the guys, the big-time Bears fans. Let's
the
go Bears.
Bears.
Although their punter is perfectly named. It's like, what is it, like Tim O'Donnell? It's a real Chicago name. Not Tim O'Donnell right there with Pat O'Rourke. And but look, guys like that, like Bob, look at the outside, and that's why they were never buying this team. So I don't think he's got the weapons, maybe Montgomery, but Montgomery doesn't really get going because of the offensive line. So I think that's where a lot of their issues are.
Yeah, you combined two names, and actually you did correctly mention the punter's full name within those two names. It's Pat O'Donnell.
Pat O'Rourke.
It's Pat O'Donnell.
I'm telling you, man, I've got family
got
there.
One in each.
They've got more Irish names. I mean, they really make it up.
Dude, awesome. I don't know what the Bears can do. I mean, they can't go back to Trubisky. They just can't go back to him because
right.
this is the last year of his rookie contract, and it feels like they've already made the move that they're moving on for Mitch when
Good
the
point.
Year is done. What do you do if Trubisky comes in and starts to play well? Like, you can't reverse course on that, right? You have to move on from that guy. So I think once they made the move in week three and then obviously ultimately announcing that Nick Foles was going to be the guy in week four, barring injury, that meant he was going to be the guy for the rest of the season. So,
Could you trade for a quarterback?
It sucks because Chicago has a Super Bowl caliber defense.
Could you trade for a quarterback?
That's the thing, right? I mean, maybe you make a move at the deadline to try to pick up a QB. I don't know who you can get out there that's better right now.
Kaepernick's
right?
available.
Kaepernick.
I don't know if he's
you
better.
You have to trade for him.
That's true, but I'm saying you go out and you go sign him.
Does anybody have a backup right now that's better? Jacoby Brissett's out there.
Yeah.
Is he better? Is Jacoby Brissett better than Mr. Trubisky?
Ben DiNucci?
Ben DiNucci.
No, wait, he's starting at Dallas. Can't trade him.
Famous Jameis.
He's better than both of those guys.
Yeah, I think
he's injury prone, but he's better. That's true. There's somebody out there who's better than a better option than Mr. Trubisky or Nick Foles. You just got to do your research, and somebody out there will give you a better
chance. Ryan Fitzpatrick. He just got benched in Miami.
That would be a better option.
Make the move in Chicago?
Yeah. Beard would work with that weather.
Yeah. That would work. And he's been more than serviceable. He's got bad timing. He's on the, nobody wants to commit to Ryan Fitzpatrick, an old man at quarterback.
Are you guys buying the weapons on the outside? I mean, Graham's pretty much done with. Cole Kmet's going to be a good tight end. But Allen Robinson.
I'm buying him.
I don't think they have enough weapons outside of that.
Yeah, David Montgomery hasn't been the kind of bell cow that they would have thought so far. They missed Tariq Cohen also being able to be more creative in the running game, so they miss him. But I like Allen Robinson. I wouldn't be surprised if they go after a Will Fuller or a Brandon Cooks.
That is more what I'm thinking
Kenny
of.
Or Kenny Stills for the Texans. They should be looking at the Texans right now for skill talent and raiding the Texans for
and
skill talent.
And live and die with Foles or Trubisky. That is what it is this year, but maybe try and help out on the outside.
I mean, they've got 48-year-old Ted Ginn Jr. starting still.
He still runs like a 4.5.
He does.
It's ridiculous.
He's lost 0.3.
Yeah, that guy can't be a starter on a contending type of team. I mean, the quarterback's the big issue, but I don't think they're going to realistically address that until the offseason. So maybe you make a move to try to get Nick Foles a weapon and hope that things can improve on the offensive side of the football. But that was pretty pathetic last night. And I've got the audio. I was able to find it.
Okay, yeah. Go, because I want to play this audio, and I'm sure you guys heard it during the broadcast, but I think it opens up the discussion that we were just having a little bit more. Maybe the issue is just the communication between Nick Foles and Matt Nagy. Maybe they're just not on the same page. Here's Brian Griese, who was doing the game last night, and he actually hinted that there may be an issue with Nick Foles and Matt Nagy.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. Sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
I'll say.
I think everybody was like, uh-oh. That's a pretty big deal.
So I was listening to Pat McAfee today, who does his show or whatever.
He's awesome.
He's pretty funny.
He is the real deal, man.
Yeah, I mean, so if you don't like cussing, then you're not going to be able to deal with it. But if you're an adult, deal with it. Yeah. But he has Aaron Rodgers on every Tuesday.
And Aaron Rodgers, they're very comfortable with each other. They talk about a lot of stuff.
They played that for Rodgers.
Oh, did they really?
To get his take. And he goes, yeah, that's not ideal.
That is fantastic. Isn't that Aaron cool? Rodgers will get, because he gave his take on the Jane Slater report too.
He did, yeah.
About Mike McCarthy. That's great that he comes on every week. I didn't know that.
But just to hear his reaction as a quarterback in the league, it's not like we're missing anything there. We got our own league guy here in Rod, which helps us out with that. But that's not good,
that ain't good
or normal.
Yeah. No offense, Rod B. I don't think it takes a league.
It doesn't.
No. That's not good.
Brian Griese did a great job of explaining it.
Yeah.
It's not good, but it's not good, but I was expecting there to be, you know what, this is what he meant to say, and this is actually, no, I mean, that's kind of what it is.
You know, I'm going to make this is a real, real stretch of a comparison, and I'm going to hate it as soon as I say it, but bear with me here for a second.
Uh-oh.
I think Matt Nagy could be an Andy Reid type, where, like, Andy Reid is a phenomenal offensive mind, and that's what we were told when Matt Nagy got the job, that he's a great offensive mind. I think he's a great offensive coordinator. I don't think he's a great play caller. And Andy Reid's offenses really took off when Eric Bieniemy, and he got some help late in his career in Philadelphia, where he let some other guys call the plays. And Andy Reid is viewed as a genius, but I think it was that extra push of somebody else maybe calling the plays that kind of helped him get over that hump and finally win a Super Bowl. I don't think Nagy, he doesn't have the skins on the wall that Andy Reid has by any stretch, but I think Nagy's a great offensive mind. I just watched some of the game plans and some of the stuff that he calls during the game watching the Bears play, and it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So I almost think maybe, and who knows if he gets brought back for another year, even though the Bears are 5-2, I feel like that guy's seat is pretty warm. If he does get back for another year, maybe to try out an offensive play caller to maybe help him take that next step.
I agree with that.
I can see that. I think he has another year or two because Ryan Pace is the one, the GM. Pace got there a year before, and he's the one who drafted Trubisky.
Ooh, yeah.
And that's on Ryan Pace. That is not on Nagy. Yeah, having to try and figure that out. So I think he's going
to
have some time.
But
I think
draft another quarterback potentially?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I think that's a perceptive point, BK. Finally today.
Since we started the show.
No. Both y'all have been a blast to work with, and I get a lot of perceptive points. The thing I like about that, or, you know, at least getting into that a little bit, is remember Andy Reid, the talk about him at that time was he didn't manage the game very well.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you alleviate some of the duties you have, and it allows you to think a little clearer. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's where Nagy is. I don't know if you guys saw it. Hate to jump on it too much, but my one and done yesterday, talking about Iowa State not calling a timeout in the first half and letting the run clock run out. Notre Dame did call timeout and blocked a punt for a touchdown. The Bears did that last night. And Greasy got on him.
Yeah.
He said, what are y'all doing? Just give it a shot. You may block it. You may return it.
It's football. You never know.
Yeah. So that game management, I didn't like at all.
I remember that.
It's interesting. I agree with BK. I think every coach is different. It's a source of pride for coaches. And we've seen it. All coaches go through it, right? Mike McCarthy's going through it. So Jason Garrett go through it. Tom Herman here is going through it. You know, where you have to disassociate yourself from, you know, from your duties, right, and your responsibilities and obligations as a head coach and go, all right, do I need to be calling the plays? Am I doing what's best for my team? Mike Gundy.
Yeah,
going through it,
right?
And I think those who are the most successful coaches, like Andy Reid, they're willing to kind of look at themselves introspectively and decide, all right, I'm good at this. I'm a good play designer. I'm a good coordinator. I come up with great game plans. Maybe the play calling in game is something I should step back on. I can contribute. I can veto. I can suggest. But maybe I shouldn't be doing that real time. And it's for different reasons, right? For Tom Herman, it was so he could take a step back. Gary Patterson. Hey. Take a step back. And then actually have a more macro view, right? Help out with special teams, help out with all these other different elements of the team for other guys, right? It's that, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees, more like Andy Reid, right? Andy Reid, you need to back up away from it a little bit, and you may have more success than you being so hands-on. So it's for different reasons, but I think you're right. Bill O'Brien, for God's sakes. Yeah. Battled back and forth with it all the time. He never knew exactly what he wanted to call the plays or if he wanted to oversee the franchise. And some guys can do both of those. My man Shano. Shano seems to be doing really well doing both.
Lincoln Riley seems to be doing well doing both. I would love for Lincoln to take that step. Yeah. Mm. You know what? I'm not going to call plays this Texas OU. Yeah. All right.
Everybody can do it.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, there's one unbeaten team left in the NFL, guys. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers. There are 6 5-win teams in the NFC. I'll give you the list. I'll also give you their point differentials, and then I kind of want to ask who do y'all think is the best team in the NFC right now. Tampa Bay is plus 80. Arizona, plus 57. The LA Rams, after their win last night, plus 52. Green Bay, plus 38. Seattle, plus 31. And about the Chicago Bears, who are 5-2. Their point differential is minus 2, guys. Negative 2 point differential for the Bears. So I don't think anyone is going to answer the Bears to this question. But of those other teams that I mentioned, those seemingly contending teams right now in the NFC, who would y'all give the nod to? Who do you think has been the best team through the first couple of months of the NFL season?
The best team last couple of weeks is probably Tampa Bay. And that in terms of the NFC, they're arcing the right way. Green Bay would probably be my answer, though, throughout the whole year so far.
Yeah, I agree with the Green Bay probably being the best overall team the whole year, but Tampa, obviously, got a win against them, so they're getting hot at the right time. That defense with Tampa Bay is legit. Out of all those teams, Tampa Bay's got the best defense. Out of all the, even out of Chicago, I think Tampa Bay's defense might be better than Chicago's defense. Mm. It's legit. It's the real deal. Seattle, I just love Russell Wilson, but you see going up against a high, you know, high octane offense, that team is vulnerable because they can't really stop anybody. But they got Russell Wilson, who I think should be the MVP this year. So, yeah, they're going to be lower because I think Seattle's given up more yards than any team in history to start 5-0. So they got some holes to plug.
And, guys, one more question. Who wins this matchup?
Who's
the
your
Chicago
answer?
Bears offense or the Dallas Cowboys defense?
Who's your answer?
God.
Think about that.
Hold on. Bears offense against the Cowboys defense.
Yeah.
Oh. Bears offense.
Bears offense.
No question. Yeah.
Montgomery would look like the Redskins running back.
Washington football team lit you up. Go throwing the ball deep downfield. Kyle Allen lighting it up.
Washington had 25 points. Would the Bears crack 25 against the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think they would.
Okay. I think they would.
I'm not sure whose offense is better right now between the football team and the Chicago Bears.
Right. I don't know either. We got to look that up.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that's a funny one. All right, so give us your answer. Yeah. Who's your best team in the NFC right now?
I'm leaning Tampa right now, guys. I really am. I mean, I agree with what y'all said about Green Bay, but the fact that Tampa Bay romped them a couple of weeks ago, I feel like Tampa Bay is the answer to that question, but there's still a lot of football left to be played, and I think all of those teams have some weaknesses. Should mention this before we get out of here for the BK Lounge. Dez Bryant, throw up the X, gentlemen. He has signed with the Baltimore Ravens practice squad, and you see practice squad and you think, well, okay, is he going to play? Keep in mind, in 2020, the practice squad is basically a holding spot for the active roster. Yeah. So, in other words, Dez Bryant is going to be on the field soon. By the way, the Ravens play the Cowboys week 13, so we might have a revenge type of game for number 88.
That would be a perfect first game for him to come back on.
Yeah.
That defense?
Well, I assume he'll be back before then.
He should be. And I think you bring up a good point, too. I think people are thinking about kind of the way it is year in and year out. But with COVID this year, it's a little different. Yeah, I mean, you've got people that will be playing.
No doubt. So there you go. Dez, happy for him. He's with the Baltimore Ravens now. It's the triple option with RBKD. We've got the BK Lounge coming up, and it's Tuesday, which means it's time for another round of Hypothetical Tuesday, where I take a deep dive inside the minds of my two co-hosts. Round 12 comes your way next.
4th and 5, the national championship on the line right here.
All the band is out on the field.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it.
In 2 seconds.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Oh, wow. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
You believe it, not hope yet.
Now,
It's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the BK Lounge on October 27th, 2020 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers, I'm BK Brad Kellner, and this edition of the BK Lounge is brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. Give them a call, 255-8678, to get the home TV setup of your dreams. I'm going to let LeBron James introduce today's segment.
It's Tuesday somewhere, so you know what that means. It's
Hypothetical
Tuesday!
Yes, indeed. LeBron James said it best. It is another round of Hypothetical Tuesday here on the Triple Option with RBKD, where I take a deep dive inside the minds of my two co-hosts.
That was more original than LeBron's, at least.
Yes.
Yours.
I have not heard anyone else use Hypothetical Tuesday before me. I've heard a couple of billion people use Taco Tuesday before LeBron.
Like 50% of the households in America grew up with a Taco Tuesday happening in their house.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, guys. No real theme for today's 12th round of Hypothetical Tuesday. We'll kind of go off the wall here and touch on a couple of different subjects. But we'll start off with an easy one, like we always do. If when you died, you could cease to exist or wander the earth forever, but you're never able to interact with anything, which would you choose? So you die, you're either done, that's it, ball game over, or you can wander the earth forever, but you can't interact with anyone or anything. Those are your two options. Which one are you going with?
So no heaven scenario.
No.
I'm in purgatory and just stuck on
earth
just, as a spirit?
Yeah.
I'll go ahead.
Can just walk around and observe, but
I'll just walk around.
You can't talk to anybody or impact anything that happens.
Yeah. And my other option is no existence at all?
Yeah, you're just done. You're
it's over.
Poof.
Done.
He gone.
No afterlife, nothing.
He gone.
Well, then, I'm just going to walk the earth as a pervert spying on people.
Oh, no, I'd be in a lot of showers.
That's what you would have to do. I mean, you would get no other way to entertain yourself. You'd have to just spy on people's most intimate moments and just sit there and eat your imaginary popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you'd also see some weird stuff that you probably wouldn't want to
see. I know, I wouldn't want to see my
Who cares? You're not living.
My great-great-grandson and what he's doing. Yeah, I wouldn't want to see that. Like,
I didn't
damn
think
it.
About that.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, it's kind of torment.
So there's obviously cool moments that you get to walk in on, but there's rough moments that you'd have to see, too.
I don't ever want to see this. I guess you could just walk out on it.
Who says I'd be going to see my family? I'd be in other spots,
but you'd get curious.
You'd go to every Super Bowl.
You'd get curious and go check on your family.
Sit there in the 10-yard line.
That's true.
Sit there at the 50.
What do you mean? You can run with the play.
You can run with the play. Yeah,
You're a spirit.
Hey, you can play. You can be on the field.
For every time
the game-winning touchdown.
For every time you said, I'd like to be a fly on the wall, here's your opportunity.
Here's your opportunity. You go sit in the White House and just kick it and go see what the president's talking about. Be like, I knew that was an Area 51. You're lying, Mo.
Oh, I didn't think about
fake
that.
Fake news.
Yeah. I'd probably go check out some conspiracy theory stuff.
I definitely would.
Yeah, I guess I'd hunt. Yeah, because you're right. There are a lot of mysteries that I would like to try to solve.
Yeah.
So I'd wander the earth and solve some mysteries.
And if I don't have to breathe, I'd go underwater. I'd go to the deep sea.
That's good. That's good stuff. Yeah, deep ocean.
Deep ocean.
Largely unexplored.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And not worried about dying.
Yeah.
I'm just floating through.
Yeah, you're already dead.
I'm already dead.
Okay.
Actually, I kind of like this now. Yeah. Can I sign up for this?
This is Hypothetical Tuesday, not real life Tuesday, guys.
Can I sign up for this until 2020 is done?
All right. The next question. If Jurassic Park were real,
oh man,
would you visit it? Very basic. Very simple.
Wow.
If Jurassic Park existed,
oh no.
Are you going?
Oh man. I'm black. So I'm gonna die early on, probably.
Do the dinosaurs not like black people?
No, but black people die.
That was dogs.
They die in horror movies early
on. Well, this isn't a horror movie, technically, or a horror movie.
Samuel L. Jackson make it? in Jurassic Park? Did he die or did he make it? They killed Newman.
There's 40 of them.
Yeah.
But I think Samuel L. Jackson was the only brother in one that I remember.
Oh, did Newman get off?
I think they killed Newman.
Hello, Newman.
All right, anyway, yes, I gotta go, damn it. And I'm upset with this because I know I'm gonna die when I go. And I'm gonna die in a bad way. I'm gonna be eaten by a velociraptor or something because there's always on an island somewhere where you can't even escape. And when you escape, you gotta escape into the jungle with other dinosaurs. Damn, but I really want to see those dinosaurs.
I know. I would, too. I'm kind of leaning towards no, which is against my personality. I try and live life, and I try and take advantage of stuff, and I'm not the, well, better safe than sorry type of guy. But I'm also forgetting the movie. I remember them running for their life.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, was there any semblance of safety?
Only
some people lived, right?
No, people live, but they have to live based on their own survival skills. They'll end up out in the jungle with some paleontologist or some dinosaur expert that can save them. I don't really have those skills.
Doesn't somebody always piss off the dinosaurs in those movies? Like things are fine, and then something happens.
Yeah, they're experimenting on him or something, doing something sinister.
So as long as you don't have that guy being a total jabroni out on the island, then maybe it's not the worst thing in the world.
Well, the whole point of the movie is there's always that jabroni.
Yeah.
That basically our whole mankind, that most of us are those jabronis. We're going to screw it up. Like, just give us enough time and we'll mess it up.
Most of us are those jabronis.
That would have been me. Now,
that's a good one, BK. Damn it. I'm going.
Dude, I'm so out on this. I just have no interest in dinosaurs.
I love dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs, if you're listening, sorry. Don't eat me. But I just, like, don't have any interest.
Really? Not even as a kid?
No. I did as a kid, but, like, dude, I was never, like, ridiculously into it where I had a bunch of figurines of dinosaurs and play with dinosaurs dinosaur sheets or stuff like that.
No.
I was never that.
Rod, you were that kid?
I was into it. I wanted to be a paleontologist for a while.
Now, if there was just a herbivore area, then obviously I'd go check that out. But I'm with you. I wasn't into it enough.
An herbivore or a herbivore? Are we talking herb hand here? Are we talking
herb
hand?
I'm talking herb and herb.
Okay. Is it actually herbivore or is it herbivore? Because those words, I can't figure out when you pronounce the H and when
I think it's
you don't.
Herbivore. Is it herb?
I thought it was herbivore.
It's herbivore. Like herbs.
Yeah.
Like crumbling herb.
All right.
It doesn't mean you're eating people named Herb.
You know what actually got me on that? Is that we've taken marijuana and we say herb now so much.
They
and
do.
I was like, was that herb or was that herb?
So unnecessary because
I was a herb while doing
We had
that.
All these nicknames for weed because it wasn't legal. And now it is
exactly.
Illegal. We should just call it what it is.
Marijuana.
Doing the pots.
Doing the pots.
All right, next Hypothetical Tuesday question here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Rod, this one might be way easier for you, but I'll obviously ask it to both of y'all anyways. You're driving along in your car on a wild, stormy, cold night. Not too dissimilar to what we're going through here in Austin, but it's wild, it's stormy, it's raining heavily. Suddenly, you pass by a bus stop and you see three people there waiting for a bus. There's an old lady who looks like she's about to die. There's an old friend who at some point once saved your life in the past.
Oh, wow.
And there's the perfect partner that you've been dreaming about.
I keep driving. I'm sorry, I'll let you finish.
So the question is, which one? You only have one seat in your car. Let's say you're driving a two-seater. You have one extra seat in your car. You can only offer it to one of them. The old lady who looks like she's about to die, an old friend who once saved your life, or the perfect partner that you've been dreaming about for years. Who's getting in the car?
Man, that's good.
That's tough.
That's really tough.
Now, the friend's not going to die, right?
The old lady looks like she's going to die.
The old lady looks like she's going to die.
Nah, it's just stormy,
but she's also
raining
old,
heavily.
So she's closer to dying.
Right? You got that in mind, too.
Wow.
I know.
The girl of my dreams.
I'm not proud of that.
The girl
one.
Of my dreams is there, too, though, right? The girl of my dreams is at that bus stop.
Perfect partner you've been dreaming about.
Well, I don't know if she's perfect. She looks perfect.
That works too.
She can get in the car.
However you want
right,
to.
Yeah.
She can get in the car. I'm like, damn it, I should have picked up my boy. Yeah. Saved my life. I'm probably going to pick up my boy and save my life.
I'm down between the boy and the woman.
You saved my life.
You
saved my life. I'm indebted. I wouldn't be here without you. I'm indebted to you.
But if he saved someone's life, he can survive this.
Well, I owe him, so I'm going to be like.
You do owe him.
You know, so if you
might end your life next time he sees you. Or if he has another opportunity to save your life.
Yeah, you know.
You're like reaching up, and he's like, nope, like, I remember that.
Save this dude's life, and he's going to pass me up at the bus stop for a piece of loose, you know,
yeah,
blank here. Oh, sorry about that.
Your ideal woman.
You didn't talk to her.
What are you talking about? I probably put the old hag in the car.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I'd talk to her first.
He calls her an old hag.
Yeah,
I'd talk. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
You're putting that in the car?
Well, I'd talk to her. If she's real old bitty, then her ass is staying there and let her die on the side of the road. But if she's sweet, you know, then if she looks like the old grandma, like, I got cookies and brownies, then I probably put her in there. You can't let an old woman just die there. And she's the only one who's going to die.
She's not. No.
The old broad is so dead. So dead for me, man. Not
well,
even
not,
in consideration.
You're not picking the woman. This is an easy
so
one for
she's
you.
Last on your list.
Oh, she's
gonna
last
be
on the
either
list.
Either the hot chick or the boy.
Yeah,
boy that saved
it's going to be the homie for sure.
That's what
even
I'm
if
saying.
He didn't save my life, if it's just one of my boys out there, hell, if it's one of y'all two out there.
Thanks.
Say, yeah, right?
No, he's right, because he doesn't, yeah.
I'm picking you guys up. I'm grabbing y'all, and we're going, and we're getting some food, and we're drinking somewhere. That's what we're doing.
He's got the bro
What am I going to do with the old hag? Drop her off at the old folks' home?
Cool. I agree. I'm
not Maybe she's your perfect woman, the combo of two.
Ooh. Oh. Well, the answer to that's no.
No.
That would have been a game changer.
I don't know why we got so excited with that.
I know. I threw that out.
I'm into heifers, not olds. We know how this works. So y'all are both going with the...
I'm going with my boy to save my life.
Katie, you're going with the old lady?
I'm going with the hag.
He's going to be a nice guy. Good for you.
I'm going to call her that.
Hag, get in.
Yeah. If she doesn't want to get in at that point, then we're all good.
So none of us picked the girl of our dreams at the bus stop.
Well, because
rose before garden tools,
I'm with you, Rod. I don't believe in love at first sight. I think that's absolute crap. It's not love at first sight. It's lust at first sight.
It could be like your perfect partner. It couldn't just be looks. Like, it could be this girl that you've had a crush on and, like, you know her personally and you've, like, loved her for years, and this is your opportunity. Like, hey, you save your life, you save her life, and maybe
I get you.
That's the start of something new, as they say in High School Musical.
I guess there's no one who's even close to that in my life who I've met. So
yeah,
it's just
so you don't believe
it's
in
such
that
a
anyway.
Fantasy. I don't even believe in it.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a good point.
There you go. So there is round 12. Of hypothetical.
Man,
I think you exposed us pretty well on that one, BK.
The Jurassic Park one was my favorite.
That's really good.
Because as a black man, I avoid what I call organized life-risking activities.
Which
I
white
don't
people
go,
love.
Yeah, white people love to go risk your life on your vacation on the weekend randomly by skydiving.
Trevor died climbing the mountain.
He was cliff diving and then I had an accident. It's like, yeah, of course he did. He was cliff diving. But then, like, so it's weird that I would want to go to a place where the movies tell you time, and there's like six of them that tell you time and time again. Mm-hmm. The dinosaurs will get out and eat everybody on the island. And yet, I want to go. I got to see these damn dinosaurs, man. And I hate zoos, too, by the way. I don't like animals being kept in captivity.
Mm.
It's weird.
But this one you'd be
that
okay
exposed
with.
Me, yeah.
Yeah, if they can kill me, they're not that captive.
I don't know. It's strange. Yeah.
There's Hypothetical Tuesday.
It's good stuff. Learn something new about
round
myself.
Round 13 next week. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. We've got one segment to go. We'll set you up for the evening in sports and tell you what's on tap next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this
down? Oh, yeah. You know, I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion. Sir,
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That is really good.
That's good. That is.
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is time to wrap this thing up and put it in the oven. We are done for the night, gentlemen. It has been a hell of a show. Been a blast bringing you guys the Triple Option. Hope you've had a blast listening to the Triple Option. Before we get done, we'll let you know what's on tap for tonight. And I'm sure for all of us, there'll be a little World Series action. So Game 6.
Yes, sir. I got the sense, Rod. You were taking Tampa.
I'm taking Tampa, baby.
I'm with you. I think this thing is going 7. It's 2020. In fact, I'm going to go a real intense prediction. Kenley Jansen blows this thing and Tampa Bay wins it.
Wow, that's specific.
In the ninth?
In the ninth.
So he gets a save opportunity?
And loses.
And chokes it away.
Wow.
I think the boldest part of that prediction is Kenley Jansen getting a save opportunity.
I don't think they're away from that yet. I really don't.
You might be right. The Stanley Cup final ended in six, unfortunately. The NBA finals ended in six. I think the World Series ends in six.
Okay.
I'm picking the Dodgers tonight, gentlemen. The Dodgers find a way to get it done. I know Tampa has the obvious edge in terms of starting pitching, right, with Blake Snell going up against Gonsolin and really a bullpen game for the L.A. Dodgers. But I think L.A. finds a way to get it done. They probably feel like they should have won this thing already. I think now that they're the home team, playing at Dodger Stadium will really, really help.
Yeah.
Getting that home field advantage on their side. I think it's a close game, but I think the Dodgers win it. We'll say 5-3.
5-3. Okay.
Okay.
Roof's going to be closed tonight, right?
Yes.
It's going to be
cold and rainy. Very similar weather up in the Metroplex that we're having here in Austin.
Did you get a feel being there for the one game you were? How it's carrying there? Because we've seen enough games now throughout the regular season, but obviously, I mean, it seems like there's certain parts of that park, like right field, it will carry a little.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some bombs, and it was a pretty chilly night. It was a pretty chilly night in Arlington. I think it was upper 50s, low 60s, which for Texas standards is kind of chilly, or at least that part of Texas standards. And the ball was carrying a little bit, so... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, during the year, it doesn't help that the Rangers were playing there and they couldn't hit home runs at a little league field, considering how bad their offense was. Didn't see a whole lot leave the ballpark this year when the roof was closed. But it feels like, yeah, for the majority of this World Series and for the majority of the last two rounds in this bubble system, there's been a lot of home runs when the roof has been open at the Gilf. So maybe that will be something to watch moving forward. That, you know, a lot of people were upset that was one of the changes going from the Temple to the Gilf, right? The old ballpark to the new one, as the old ballpark was one of the most hitter-friendly parks in all of baseball. And the jet stream, as they called it, the wind tunnel out to right field, just led to a ton of home runs over the years. The dimensions at this new park are crazy long, and obviously you've got the retractable roof, so there's no wind tunnel type of system at this new park. I think a lot of people were worried that there wouldn't be a lot of home runs, but this postseason... when the roof has been open, we have seen a lot of long balls. So, long way to answer your question. I don't know if we have an answer just yet.
I don't want to hear y'all bitch about signing free agent pitchers anymore, because a lot of that was outside, and pitchers didn't want to deal with that, and also the fact that the old park was really the ball carried there. So, that should not be an issue.
Now the issue is they're not going to spend the money, and I definitely will bitch about that.
I know you will.
Does anybody know, when they build Major League Baseball, when they build ballparks, are they the architecture, the engineers? Do they build it specifically to give them an advantage with wind tunnels and hitter-friendly parks and pitcher-friendly parks?
Great question. Like they try to, but they can mess that up like they did with Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. They messed it up in Omaha, right, with TD Ameritrade.
Oh, God. Now, that was being idiotic. That was just stupid.
Yeah. The old Rosenblatt, you could actually hit home runs at that ballpark. But they built the new one where they play the College World Series like against the wind. So the wind's always blowing in, so nobody can hit home runs
in the College World Series.
We don't want pitchers duels in college baseball.
Guess who had to call two home run derbies there?
Oh, that's horrible.
This guy.
That's terrible.
It was awful. I'm looking at Kyle Peterson, and we were just shaking our head. Now, Kyle's the mayor of Omaha, and he's the one who gave me that little tidbit. He said they built this thing the wrong way, and they knew it because their convention center, they wanted everyone to see it in center field.
Oh.
Like the Omaha Convention Center is really going to sell people to go there. It's a great town. It's actually a cool little town. So go there. They've got some good food. They got some music. They got all that. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, are you kidding me?
It's fascinating.
We're calling a 3-2 home run derby because of that?
That is fascinating. I didn't know that.
All right, Longhorn Blitz podcast is coming up next. That's what do you guys have set up?
We talk Texas Baylor, a little bit of Texas Oklahoma State, too. And, of course, we talk about Tom Herman and where he stands with the fan base.
Awesome. Also, everyone gets a trophy. So after that, if you want to check that out, you can listen to Paul and I talk Texas football. Longhorn Blitz coming up next. For Rod, for Brad, I'm Kevin. Y'all stay warm. Peace, y'all.